for another round of racing and rocking with Dragnest.com. Staging in the left lane is your host, founder and creator of the Dragnest, Bill Pratt. And in the right lane, John, the Wildcat One. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated, pull your belts tight, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready for some racing and rocking.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's great to be with you tonight because tonight we feature one of my favorite guys in the whole world, Steve Gibbs. We're going to talk about a discussion of his new Nitro Revival event and catch up on some of the 50-plus years he's been involved with putting on drag racing events all over the country. I'll ask some racing questions a little bit later on. John will ask some rocking questions, and you can join us live. Come out and chat on racersreunion.com or go check out Facebook Live where we are broadcasting the show right now. Without further ado, though, Steve Gibbs, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Bill. It's nice talking to you again, and I appreciate the opportunity.
It's so great to have you on. Always try to catch a couple seconds with you at one of the events you put on, but it's because you're doing about 100 things. It's usually a little bit after the final successful end of the event. We can take it down a couple notches and chat. But this is going to be a great opportunity for me to have you all to myself and to John here for about 20 minutes, of course, with our listeners as well. Welcome.
I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Let's talk about this next big event you're putting on. This is a unique thing. It's called the Nitro Revival, coming up September 30th at Barona Drag Strip down near San Diego in Lakeside. Tell us a little bit about that event.
Well, it's going to be a little bit different from any event that's been put on up to this point. You know, kind of going to have a league of our own, so to speak, with the the restored, replicated, recreated vintage cars that got started with the Cackle movement quite a few years ago now, and there's been a lot of those cars built, and it's carved out its own niche within the sport. It's a chance to recreate these historical cars and show them to the fans. It's not a race. These cars, I don't know if they're performing going down the track because they're vintage cars. But you get, the firing of the engines, the push starts, the classic image that you had with the drag racing that we knew and loved, especially in the 60s and in the 70s. So it's a new event. It's a modest event. We're not, trying to take on the world here, but it's got a lot of support, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, it sounds great. I'm looking at the entry list. It's amazing. We can talk about some of those names in a little bit, but Some of the things you've got going on there. So you're going to have the Cackle cars. So Nitro, is going to be pouring out of the headers. Side by side push starts, smoky burnouts, line of fire, mass fire up. Is that where they line both sides of the track?
Yeah, we're orchestrating that thing as we go. It depends on the number of cars that we ultimately wind up with. But it's the different features that we've seen at different events around the country. Nothing totally new, but again, it's a chance to see these cars, to hear these cars, to feel the power of the nitromethane, and so it's going to be a combination of the different things. So static starts where you can stand up and feel the cars up close, and then a line of cars, probably 20 or 30 of them firing up all at one time. We're hopefully going to do that right about twilight, where we get some good header flames and the push starts and all the things that go with that that activity. Again, we're making this up a little bit as we go. It depends on just the volume of the cars and how things fall into place, typical of a first-time event. But we've done a lot of events, and I think in the most part we'll come off with something that everybody will enjoy, have a good time, in addition to being a get-together of a lot of historical races. We have a lot of Hall of Fame
people are going to be there for the fans. So they're not only going to see the cars, they're going to get a chance to rub elbows with the, you know, the Ace McCulloughs and Tommy Ivos and Tom McEwens and, you know, guys of that nature. So it's going to be a people event also.
No, it's going to be crazy. I'm looking at some of these names. We'll talk about it. We'll drop a few more names here in a while, but also classic hot rods, you know, and racing personalities, as you said. I think a lot of them are known as racing rascals, pretty much. I mean, Ivo and those guys, they haven't quite grown up sometimes, have they? And we don't want them to. They're fantastic, just the way they are.
Well, we're lucky to still have those guys here, and they did. There was a time when those people, and Ivo is a classic example. I mean, he really paved the way for the touring racers back when he hit the road in the pretty early 60s, and then it paved the way for them, the McEwens and the Perdomes and McCulloughs and guys like that, to actually make a living at drag racing. And there was an era when, I'm sure most of your people listening, you could see these guys in the match race circuit or the national events in the general areas, and you know, a lot of those guys with the sports passed them by and the age is caught up, but they're still there. They still enjoy it. They like to rub elbows with their fans. So we'll have autograph sessions and a chance to get up close and personal with these guys that are still out there enjoying this lifestyle.
It's really great. I it looks, sounds so terrific. I say I'm looking forward to it, but I don't know if I'll be able to fly there for it. But man, if you're anywhere near San Diego, you guys got to get out there. So speaking of, I was thinking several years ago, it's probably been a decade and a half now, Steve, when you shared a number of your black and white photos from back in the 50s of some of these great old drag cars. I mean, back in those days, did you ever imagine that people would be able to come out here and make a living at this, either racing or putting on races like yourself?
I'm not sure any of us really knew exactly what it was going to evolve into. I mean, Wally Parks, I was lucky enough to go to work for Wally in 1969, and you know, that question was asked of him often, and he never could come up with the answer as to what he saw it, you know, evolving into. It's definitely taking leaps and bounds as far as the sophistication of the sport and all that goes with that. You know, there was a time where I think it was more of a blue-collar sport, and working-class guys had a better chance to get in and compete on a national level without the monumental sponsorship that it takes today. And that really was a special time to be able to do that. When you look at the big names, the Don Perdomes, the McEwens, the McCulloughs, none of those guys came from a real wealthy background. Most of them working-class guys. We're fortunate to hit the sport at a time when it was doable, and turned themselves into national celebrities, basically, that fans cherish. You know, they love them. They're still revered, those guys that were out there during the day. So glad we can still have them.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, I looked up to him when I was a kid, and you know, I always laugh at Bruce Larson. With Bruce Larson, I see him often, and I'll say, yeah, you're my hero. You know, I was running around with his model car and a little red, white, and blue windbreaker that my mom got me. I thought I was Bruce Larson in '70, and you know, so proud to have been able to met him and have known him now for years. And that's the great thing. What I really like about these kind of events is a lot of your heroes turn into your friends, and it's been like that with you, of course, and clubs like the Standard 1320 introducing young guys like myself to some of the older guys, and you find out they're just good old guys, and they're just out there having a good time and love to talk to folks.
Yeah, they are. You know, I was fortunate to get involved in the sport during the same time. I never raced. I got involved on the other end of things as far as organization of races and events and working at the tracks, and fortunate enough to wind up going to work for NHRA again, 1969, and worked my way through the ranks, wound up being the competition director, vice president of competition. 25 years we conducted the national event circuit, and I added it up the other day, about 400 national events that I ran during my tenure, and
a lot of experience and a lot of, you know, it's not all fun and games. There's a lot of challenges in running these events, you know, dealing with the conditions and just the problems that go with it. But, you know, I was lucky enough, I guess, to grow up with these guys, the Colettas, the, again, the guys I've mentioned before. So, you know, I had longevity with them, and it's kind of given me a little bit of a advantage in dealing with guys like that over the years. We're still pals. You know, we go back together when we were just basically kids in our early 20s. The first time I crossed paths with most of these guys, I was 21, 22 years old, and I'm 77, you know.
It is great. You know, the one thing that the folks always said about you, I mean, you're very firm, right? You put the rule down, and the rule had to be adhered to, but you always were super fair with everybody. You always gave everybody a fair shot and, you know, didn't play any favorites. And, you know, I think people really love that about you, all the racers that I've heard of, you know, for decades now. We've heard about that.
Well, you know, I did the best I could with the tools I had to work with. You know, I'm just a... You know, I guess, you know, a little bit of walking around since they call it down south. I think we relaxed. I tried to do what was right within my means. I tried not to abuse my authority. And there was a lot of authority with the job I had. So just, again, try to do the right thing. Try to, you know, be able to make a decision that you can sleep at night. And there's times where any decision you make isn't going to satisfy everybody. Somebody's going to come up on the short end of it. But at least over the years, I think most of the people I had to, you know, do that understood it was probably doing the best I could. I don't think there's a very long list of guys that felt that, you know, I didn't do them right over the years.
Right.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're going to, if you're not, you're not at their work, and if somebody doesn't disagree with you now and then, but... You know, in retrospect, they have to think back and think that they also don't get to see everything you had to decide, right? You had much bigger things than just that one run or what they were trying to do that event.
Yeah, there's a lot of dealing. You know, you're dealing just the running of the race, the number of cars you have to get down the racetrack. You've got the, you know, the unpredictable things, the accidents, the oil downs, the weather, the electronic problems. There's always going to be something out there to test you, and you just... You fight your way through it. And for the most part, everybody, you know, they understood what you were up against. But, you know, this event, hopefully we don't have any big challenges like that. Again, we're not, you know, we're not going to be out there trying to run 1,000 cars. It's a one-day event. It's a Saturday, September 30th, and it's as much a car show as it is a race. We're going to be some racing on the track as far as exhibition runs. It's an eighth-mile track, and, you know, the very fast cars can only run really a short distance, not even the full eighth mile. But, you know, we'll have some good smoky burnouts and some good launches with some of the fuel dragsters and fuel haulers. But, you know, the cackle guys will take center stage and make a lot of noise and, you know, pound the ground. And we're also, you know, from a social event, we're going to invite everybody out there to have a good time, and we're going to try to honor the greater San Diego racing history. There was some really notable tracks in the early days in the San Diego area, and a lot of big-name racers came out of San Diego, and manufacturers, and we're going to pay homage to them at the event also.
That's a great thing, because, you know, L.A. gets, you know, the majority of the, as it does all throughout California, kind of gets the majority of the attention. And, of course, the San Francisco area had its own racers, of course, up around Fresno and Sacto. But San Diego, with the Bean Bandits and all the other guys who I notice are, you know, obviously well represented down there, it's going to be great. I was actually looking at a photo from Lakeside, California from 1908, where they had guys racing. It was Circle Track, but that town has just a huge racing presence for many, many decades.
There is. I mean, there's some really great racers that came out of San Diego and continue to do so to this day. Some major manufacturers, Bruce Crower, one of the earliest guys. If you look at the first time Garlitz went to Bakersfield in 1959, there was a Crower manifold on the car, and the Crower Devise is the name that's
in the sport today. And, you know, Bruce is out of the San Diego area. He's one of the honorees. And one of the honorees, amazing story is Jim Nelson and Dode Martin were name racers. They ran a company called Dragmaster, and they built hundreds of chassis in that early 60s era. Dode Martin is 92 years old. He's going to be one of our inductees. I was chatting with Dode the other day, and I said, well, you almost made World War II, did you, Dode? He said, well, I was in the Battle of the Bulge. And amazing. Here this guy is, still building race cars that fought in the Battle of the Bulge, and he'll be there again as one of our inductees. An amazing man.
Absolutely. Well, again, there's no way we can list all these names that are identified here, but the website is up, and folks can go check this out, right? Let me see. Do you have the website handy? I can dig it up.
Yeah, it's real simple. It's just nitrorevival.com, and okay. You've got the basics of the event, including, now Friday night is it's a separate event, but it's, we're joined at the hip, is the cruising on Grand, the Nitro Nights in Escondido, which is nearby. It's about a 30-minute drive from Escondido up to the Barona track, and they do a big cruise night. And the Friday night prior to our Nitro Revival, they're going to have Nitro Nights on the streets of Escondido, and a lot of the same cars will be, you know, participating in that. And that's where we're inviting a lot of our early arrivals to come join us in Escondido on Friday night. So it's a 2-day event. In a way, but our primary focus, obviously, is Nitro Revival at Barona right. The next day. If you look on your map, the closest town you'd find would be Ramona, California. It's in the foothills, in the northeast of San Diego. Beautiful mm-hmm. part of the country, and we hope to see a bunch of you folks there.
Yeah, get on down there, guys. That's my old Navy town. I spent a good year in San Diego when I was in the Navy, hitchhiking up to Orange County as often as I could. But I didn't know these drag strips were up in that area. I think I went hang gliding once way up there around Black's Mountain. I don't know if it's anywhere close to there. But that's northeast out there towards the desert. And, man, this is a much better thing to do. Much safer. And, man,
yeah,
I tell you, Steve.
It's Verona's just an integrity member track. They operate on a regular basis there. It's an eighth-mile track. And I guess in the foothills, it's a modest-sized facility, so I think this event will fit nicely into it. And, we're just taking this thing one step at a time. I'm not sure what the next thing is for Nitro Revival, but, there's a lot of interest in these kind of cars and, you know, getting these folks together as often as we can. And so I'm sure this isn't going to be the last go-around, we'll do the best we can here and hope everybody has a good time.
Absolutely. I think it's in your blood, Mr. Gibbs. I took a little bit of a retirement, but here you are back with this, and I'm so, so glad you're doing it. I think the track size is going to be perfect for this, the perfect number of cars and great guys, and just I can't wait to hear about it. I doubt I'll be able to make it, unfortunately, from the East Coast, but, man, I'll be crying. I was seeing the first of your several other events. The National Hot Rod Reunion and all that good stuff, and saw the success there. Obviously, this is a much smaller scale, but it looks like it's about 10 times as fun with all these characters coming.
The passion is there. The support is there. A lot of the guys feel, I think, more comfortable having a show that's kind of their own and not, in conjunction with other things. So, I think a lot of these guys are looking forward to having a day of their own, and we'll give it a shot, see how it goes. Again, at my age, I'm not willing to take on a whole new career here, but luckily still in good health and get up in the morning and do what I want to do and still go visit my mom, who's alive and well, so I guess there's some longevity there.
And, bless her heart.
Life's been good. I'd like to thank the people that are assisting me on this. Ron Johnson, who owns three of the cars, the Tommy Ibo car, the Chisler, the Schubert and Herbert cars, a major, force in this. My daughter Cindy, Don Ewald doing the media. We got a small team of volunteers, but everybody's heart is in it all the way. And
absolutely.
Now it's up to us to deliver.
All the pal. Well, you'll definitely make it happen. And let me toss a quick plug in there before I toss to John for a minute. But great looking hats and T-shirts. I'm sure Cindy had something to do with those up on the Nitro Revival site.
Yeah. She did. Kenny Youngblood helped us a lot. And of course, Kenny's a great help. We've had so much behind the scenes support and help from guys that have wanting to see this thing work where it comes to, Kenny with the artwork, a couple of people producing signs and decals, and we've had a great deal of support, and I'll be eternally grateful for that, for people that are,
I guess paying back in a way for some of the things that we've done for them over the years, and it's been very rewarding.
Fantastic. Well, I've been talking your ear off about the event a little bit. John, we call this racing and rocking, though, so let me toss it, John, for a couple of minutes and talk about what you might like to listen to.
Yeah, thanks, BP. Okay. Steve, we'd like to know about your favorite kind of music.
Well, I'm getting a little bit long in the tooth, so, we're typical 50s kids. My wife and I graduated from high school together, and so we like the traditional 50s rock and roll music. We like music of any kind, but good music. I guess, standard old oldies but goodies, and the traditional country music, big Merle Haggard, Willie Nelson, fans of that bunch. So I guess we're showing our age, but that's where we come from music wise.
I couldn't agree with you more. I love that stuff. I play in a band that does that stuff here in Houston, and we have done quite well playing oldies from the 50s and 60s and soul hits from that era, do you plan on having a band at your Nitro reunion?
Probably not. We're just kind of taking this one thing at a time here, and one time I thought we might have had one, some guys, but that didn't quite work out. But who knows, maybe the next one we will. We're going to depend on race cars to be the main entertainment. There's been a few events in the past where we've tried to do some bands, and sometimes it doesn't quite work. It's unfair to the band to be playing and the guys who are interested in the cars. So that's a pretty tricky balance to do that. Yeah. But we love good music.
Right.
We go to concerts. We went to Paul Anka the other night. Had a great time. He had a great concert out at, here in Southern California. We've got couple of other ones that we're coming up to. So we love good music. I love music that I can understand the lyrics. I can listen to them, I can understand them, and they make sense. That's the kind of music.
I know what you mean, Well, yeah, it could be too much of a distraction to have a band playing while you got a big show going on, dealing with drag racing and so forth. But
and we almost had the deal lined up, but I think that the band came up with another another gig or something for this event. So it's just a one-day event, and it's kind of hard to put a whole lot into it. But who knows? Maybe next year something will shake loose, and we'll figure out a way. I love the entertainment there. If we can just fit it in and do it where it's fair to everybody, do the band justice. But, we love a good band.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, say you're on your way to the races, and, you get out there, and everything's starting to happen. Do you ever have a song in your head that gets you pumped up about all that?
I don't know. I guess on the road again,
I don't know. We'll hum a tune now and then, and I don't know if I get a favorite song that I listen to all the time or not, but we got our satellite radio, and we're generally down there on the 50s station, 60s sometimes, even the elevator music once in a while, just something that's relaxing. We got various, one of the concerts we're going to sometime soon is at Andre Rue, which is a giant orchestra. I never realized what a production his shows were, so we're looking forward to that. Yeah. So I guess I'm all over the board when it comes to music, but primarily 50s, that's just the age we are, that's what we grew up with, and again, my wife and I, 57 years, we're still just a couple old teenagers.
Well, that's amazing.
She's adorable, too. Tell my very best to her. I don't see her enough.
She'll be down there. She's doing good. We're aging the best we can. She had a
Major brain surgery about a year and a half ago. It was a non-malignant, thank goodness, tumor, but it was a major. It took a growth out of her head about the size of a small pear, and was a scary time. So she's done very, very, very well. We're lucky to have very good doctors, and so we're doing fine. We're really happy to be doing as well as we're doing at this stage of the game. But I appreciate the kind words.
Well, thank you, Steve. My best to her and to Cindy and all the gang there. And we say farewell to you here. But remember, folks, a reunion of, for, and by the Racers. Steve Gibbs and Nitro Revival coming on September 30th. Find your way down there to Lakeside, California. Thank you, Steve, for joining us.
Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I hope things go well, and maybe get another chat when it's all done, and we can do a critique.
Yeah.
Come back and tell us all about it. We're just taking it one step at a time here, and but I think with a little luck and I think the weather should be fine that time of year for us down there. It should be good, but we're very hopeful and we're very thankful for the opportunity. And I appreciate the chance to talk to you guys.
Absolutely, Steve. Oh, just an honor and a pleasure, sir. As always, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Gibbs, and go down and see him on September 30th. Good night.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Bye.
Good night, Steve.
Oh, the great Steve Gibbs. John, let me toss it to you. We just have about 4 minutes left, so we really got talking a little bit too much with Steve, which is as he's wonderful.
No,
so give it a shot. See how you do to get through.
Thanks, VP. Here goes. My pick for Racer of the Week is Jason Seeley from Bettendorf, Iowa. Jason and I have been friends on Facebook for a while, and I recently saw the major upgrades and changes he's made to his 70 Plymouth Duster, and I decided to feature him in my segment this week. Jason grew up in a Top Fuel family. His father was Sid Seeley, the Moline Madman. Sid died in 1985 of lung cancer when Jason was 14 years old. He said Sid's wake was a 3-day visitation, including cars from about 30 states. He also shared some great stories with me of what it was like growing up behind the scenes in the big-time drag racing circuit during the 1970s. Sid was friends with all the major racers in that era, and Jason was right there during those years. He learned a lot, and he saw a lot, and it was everything we ever thought it was like, and then some. After Sid passed, Jason spent 20 years away from the drag strip, and as he told me, he was running from his heritage. He joined the Marines and was on active duty from 1991 to 1995. It was there that he learned the confidence to face his destiny. After Jason's military service, he ended up meeting Jeff Freeman Jr. when they both worked at a local Budweiser distributor. Jeff's father and close friends introduced Jason to the wonderful world of bracket racing. 10 years later, Jason Seeley is closing in on his first ever points championship in pro at Tri-State Dragway in Earlville, Iowa. Jason told me that it's one of the best run tracks in the Midwest and the nicest people you could ever want to meet. Jason thanks Jim Peterson, who built his transmission. He excels in 904 and 727 trannies. He also thanks Jeff Smith. Jim and Jeff are getting up in years, but they still race. Jeff's been at it about 40 years, and right now he's driving the Scaravan. Jason told me that he's under the impression that the first race car was when they rolled the second car off the Ford assembly line. Henry Ford drove the first one, and Jim Peterson drove the second one, and he probably has the time slip to show for it. And Jason married his fiancée, Janelle, on August the 19th. They just got back from their honeymoon in the Ozarks. Congratulations. Jason told me that his personal and racing life are just plain awesome right now. He's running consistent 1120s with the potential to go into the 1070s, and he's more than 60 points out in front with 2 races left. He's kind of nervous and anxious, as the guy that's in second place is a formidable opponent. But I told him, just keep doing what you're doing and don't change anything. You'll win. We're looking forward to hearing about Jason's points championship, and we'll be sure to give him a shout-out when that fine day comes to pass. Jason, we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. Back to you, BP.
Thank you, John. We're not going to have a lot of time here. Let's talk about lost friends Wendell Webster from Middle Tennessee Dragway, Joe Logie, the wife of John Logie from Logie Stamping, Bruce Rebstock from US 13, Dr. Dean Hill, NHRA Fuel Tech, and Walter Nichols, Billy Jack from the NHRA Safety Safari, all passing this last week. But the name I really wanted to let everybody know about is Tom Schultz, the Division III photographer since 1961, one of our best friends. I've known him for a couple of decades. We saw him just in Pittsburgh as he shot that event, Tom passing away and leaving a big hole in our hearts. Thanks to Steve Gibbs, John Bacham, and Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder, Barb Santucci, and Bud, Mr. Drag News DeBoer. No show next weekend. Enjoy Labor Day, everybody. And we'll see you in September. Bye-bye.